Let's open our Bibles this evening. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to read this scripture, 2 Corinthians. We've been reading this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, thank you, Jesus, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. You ever feel like that? Yes. If you haven't, something wrong with you. But not in despair. Persecuted, some of us have been. Some of us may not have experienced that. But not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that why the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I like the Amplified in verse 8. It says, we are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way. Some feel like that. They're pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed, but not cramped or crushed. So it doesn't say we're not going to experience some things. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out. That's what that means. Some of us have been there. You just don't know which way to get out of this. But not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Thank God. Hallelujah. And it's the spirit of faith that's going to get us through this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at starting in verse 35, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, as faith talking, don't cast your faith away, which hath great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. Well, we can see that in verse 6. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder. If you don't cast your confidence away, there's great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that hath shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man does what? Draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Let's look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance. And if you look in your margin, some margins say, it says, and mine it says, the ground or confidence. So we're talking about faith is the confidence of things hoped for. So when you're expecting something, you are, in other words, that word hope, if you look it up in the Greek, it'll say confidently expecting. That's what it says, confidently expecting something to happen. And it's the evidence, what is that faith, that confidence is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And we spent the last few lessons just talking about words, talking about what we're saying. And turn over for a moment. I know we look at this quite often, but let's look at Mark 11, 23, just for 22 and 23, just for a moment. And let's take a look at that. It says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So it's important that we speak to the mountain, whatever that mountain is. Be thou what? Removed. And see, sometimes people will be shouting, I cast that thing into the sea. But this says here, be thou removed and. Do you ever think about that? I've done that. I cast this thing in the sea. And the Lord checked me a while ago and said, yeah, but it says and. It says, be thou removed and. Doesn't it say that? That's what my Bible says. It says, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. Look at that right there. It says, those things which he saith. Now, if you look at that, that's not only to that mountain, but it's what you saith all the time. Did you ever think about that? Because a lot of times we say things, and when we're talking about speech, some folks, you know, and we all, when you develop your words and you develop faith in your words, things begin to happen quicker and quicker and quicker. And this may answer some individuals' question, maybe, why things aren't changing as quickly as I'd like them to change. Because maybe you've developed faith in your words to such a degree that when you say something negative, it happens quicker. And so now when you're changing that and you're shifting that, it's going to take some time to develop faith in the other direction. So it's taken time to shift the ship around, you see. But that's not time to stop. That's time you need to keep moving in that direction until you develop faith in God and his word and faith in your own words for the positive. See, what does it say? Death and life's in the power of the tongue, and he that loveth shall eat the fruit thereof. So sometimes when we're saying, man, I've been trusting God for the last 3 years, but you've spent the last 60 years saying it the wrong way, saying just such and such and such and such. You've been saying it that way for so long, it's going to take a little time to get that turned around and shifted going in the right direction. If you faint not, you shall reap. You see? And that helped me some, that sometimes we're looking for something to happen. I want this to happen right away. My body isn't changing quick enough. But you've been saying something negative about your body for a long time. You may have, you see. And so that's something to think about. And don't give up. Don't lose hope where something's concerned. Maybe your body, maybe it's finances, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a marriage. Maybe you've been saying something negative about your spouse for the last 30 years. And you've been releasing words. See? So that will change and can change if you change your words. Yeah, but you see, they're not, but See, they don't. They never. Is that what you want? Say what you want. Amen. Not what you see. Faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, you've been saying what you see. And the Lord checked me. He's checking me. Don't say what you see. That's a change in certain things, isn't it? If we're not getting what we want, and I think where faith is concerned, let's take this little journey here tonight. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 for a moment. Go ahead, Abigail. Yeah. He's over there preaching. She's all preaching, huh? She's preaching over here now. See, we don't have Riley here tonight and Pearson, so we have Abigail to cheer us on and preach to us. That's all right. I like it. Yes, sir. But when it comes to releasing our words, let me just get over here. I'm going to read this here, and then I'll jump back here. But I said Hebrews 11. It's actually Hebrews 3. You don't have to turn there because just stay there. But Hebrews 3, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession." So he's the high priest over the words that we release. And God is checking out your speech here. Is it of God or is it of the flesh? And this is some things that this next phase of this ministry, the things that are going to propel us in is our words. These are big things. When I think about the prophetic words that have been spoken over this ministry, it said it took 24 years to build the foundation because of what's going to have to be built on top. So the as Pastor Greg likes to use those terms about sports, the basics basics of anything. So those basic principles of faith. I know the Hagans have been talking about that. Getting back to the basics of faith. Can't get away from it. And those basics are what are going to get us through. And if we're not liking the results, then we need to look at what we're doing. And when it says he's the apostle and high priest of our confession, where faith is concerned, the primary thing where faith is concerned is knowing the will of God. Because if you are confident that he told you to do that, see, how many of you have ever gotten to the place where you just wonder whether or not, because of circumstances, how many have ever gotten to the place where you just wonder whether that was God or not? Anybody ever been there? Yeah, ditto. I've heard God, heard his voice, you know it. And then time passes, and you go, you know, maybe it wasn't him after all. You don't be holy on me, because we've all been there. We've all gone there. I heard the Holy Ghost. I heard the voice of the Lord in a room, in my room. It wasn't in my room. It was in here, but it was the voice of the Lord. And after 25 years of standing, I said, well, maybe he didn't mean that. And I knew darn well he did. But when you don't see something, you go, well, maybe he meant that instead. No, he didn't. He meant exactly what he said. And he's going to bring it to pass if we just don't waver. See, so the key is the key to our confidence, and that's why the Lord was sharing some things with me over the weekend about discouragement, why it's so devilish, because faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. So faith gives substance. If the hope is gone, faith has got nothing to give substance to. So that's why the devil goes after that area and plays with the mind to do what? Discourage you. Because discouragement, I looked this up, it said to deprive of courage or confidence, dishearten someone. It means to make less determined or confident. A synonym is this, to frustrate or demoralize. So when somebody's demoralized, what happens? They lose heart. And they lose hope. And then they may have faith, but when you lose hope, you just go, forget it. Right? Isn't that what happens? That's what happens when people are sick and it goes on and 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 on, and they don't see a change. They go, well, I'm just tired. You ever hear people say that? I'm just tired. I want to go home. It's their choice, and they'll go to heaven. But when people get tired and discouraged, faith is lost. And that's why it's important that when we get into these settings like this, when we begin to shout and scream and let a sound loose, I'm telling you, it's a mighty sword, and it will lift burdens and encourage and hearten you. Say, yes, sir, God is for me. That's why it's important to praise and to shout when you're feeling put down, you see, mentally. Or there's something going on where the body's not functioning and you're feeling like all hope is lost. That's the time to praise Him. That's the time to shout. See? That's the time to shout. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Because there is a force, a devil, that's trying to discourage and to dishearten. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, what I wanted to touch on tonight, just for a few moments, look at verse 7 of Hebrews 11. Well, let's back up to verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we got to seek Him, right? Now look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God. See, here's the key about knowing it was from God. See, you start with by faith, Noah being what? Warned of God. So he knows now this is the will of God. He can have faith for that, can't he? When he knows it's of God, right? Wasn't something he dreamed up here. This was being warned of God. Of things not seen as yet. Now look, he moved with fear, and what did he do? He prepared. He did what? He prepared. So faith prepares. Faith prepares. Now, when you're in faith, you prepare. What do I mean by that? When you're in faith and the doctor says you're not going to live, when you're in faith, you prepare to live. You don't prepare to die. When you're in faith, you prepare to live. When you're in faith about your finances, you don't prepare to go under. You don't prepare for lack. You prepare for overflow. You prepare. Faith prepares. you prepare to prosper. You prepare to live in health. So the man or woman of God that's in faith prepares. Now, sometimes, and this is something that we need to keep in mind here. When we're in faith, that doesn't mean you throw out all common sense and business sense. That means you just don't throw it out. God gave you a brain. You don't replace, and I'm going to say this, and just listen to what I'm saying. You don't replace common sense and business sense with faith only. And you don't replace faith with business sense and common sense. Right? Because the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not. So in other words, we're to use some understanding. Just don't lean to it. That means we don't throw out all kinds of business sense, all kinds of common sense, and just say, I'm just trusting God, and there's an 18-wheeler running at you. I'm just trusting God. Really? We live by faith, and we trust God, but He will lead us. We have some things that you learn here in the earth. See, this is one of the things. Let me use this example then. Maybe that didn't hook up with you. Let me use this one. Because people have gotten themselves into trouble, health-wise. Anybody ever hear this? Bless God, I'm just going to bless this food, and I can just eat anything, and I'll just bless it and eat it, and it'll be sanctified for my nourishment. Really? How many people have said that through the years and ended up in a mess? Because they just said, I'm going to bless this food, and I can just eat whatever I want, and I'll bless it, and it's sanctified. That's presumption, and that's foolishness, and you're throwing out all common sense when you hear reports of doctors that tell you, eat this kind of way, and I'm not over here on a health thing, but I'm saying people have gotten themselves into issues because they threw out all common sense and said, I'm just living by faith. Really? Faith is knowing the will of God. Faith is hearing the Holy Ghost and obeying. Did you ever ask the Holy Ghost how to spend your money? Did you ever ask the Holy Ghost what you should eat? See, because when you do and He gives you an answer, then you live by faith. See, then you operate in faith. Faith in what? Faith in the will of God. See? And that's what I mean. We prepare. But sometimes people just throw out all kinds of things that really is foolishness. Let's turn over here a second. Go over to the book of Jonah for a second. I want to show you something. Well, let's see. We can go to Jonah. Yep. And we'll back up a little bit. Go to the book of Jonah. Look at chapter 1 and verse 17. Look at verse 17. It says, now the Lord had what? Prepared. He prepared what? A great fish to swallow up Jonah. So there's things that should be prepared. Psalm 103. I'm just going to show you a few scripture verses here. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. 103:19. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth all, over all. Proverbs 8, just a few here. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 27. It's talking about wisdom, this whole chapter. It says, when He prepared the heavens, this is chapter 8 and verse 27, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, and so forth, he said, but when he prepared the heavens. So the Lord is in the business of doing what? Preparing things. Has he prepared? Here's another one. Revelation. You can go to the back of the book. Yeah. There's a little motorboat tonight here. Yeah. Yeah. I love little children. They're so cute. Oh, gosh. Oh, goodness. Chapter 21 in Revelation, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So the Lord prepares things. Let me ask a question. If he prepares things, should we?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. There's a scripture. Maybe you can find it. I think, I'm not sure where it is, but it talks about we, the church, we as believers should prepare for his return. Should it and should we not?
Yes.
We should be preparing for his return. We should not be as those who just go about our day, every day, not preparing for his return. So we need to be prepared. Faith prepares, because that's the point, that Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark. So we need to set a watch over our mouth and prepare. Think about the words that we speak to do what? Prepare things, do things in our life to prepare what? Abundance, prepare health, prepare things as directed by God. Let me go back over to Hebrews 10 here. Excuse me, I'm just looking. It's First Corinthians. Praise God. Hallelujah. Reason that kind of jumped up at me today was the things that we're preparing. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. Yeah. Familiar scripture verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Oh, familiar with this? It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, revealed those things that he's prepared for us. He's revealed them to us, how? By his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Holy Ghost reveals to us those things that have been prepared by God for those he loves. Hallelujah. All the precious things that God has prepared for us before we got saved. What is that scripture verse in Ephesians chapter 2, I think it is, that we were, when we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He prepared salvation for us when we didn't know him. So those things, as we operate in faith, not only personally do we prepare things and we look for the return of Christ, but we're preparing for the people that God is sending. See, that should be our focus. What is our focus? What did Pastor Clinton say the Holy Ghost gave him years ago? Kingdom building is our job, wasn't it? So for us, preparing individually on a personal level, but also preparing everything that we do, our whole focus and thrust should be first seeking Him, getting direction from Him, and as He has given us direction all these years, preparing for the people to come, preparing for the masses that are coming, preparing ourselves to minister to them. Isn't that right? That's our heart's cry, our heart's pant and beat, is to prepare. Now, He may use you in different capacities, but everything we do should be to get prepared for His return and prepare ourselves for the people He's sending. Amen. 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 That's it for me. Wasn't anything deep, but just something to feed upon, that we don't go through life. We need to prepare as God directs us. This isn't about just, you know, we come to church and we fellowship. That's a wonderful thing. We fellowship with one another. But it's all to prepare us individually and corporately for God's purposes. Isn't that true? Yes, yes, sir.
1 Thessalonians 5th chapter.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Did everybody hear that? Yeah, he said it was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Just highlighting, preparing for the return of Christ. Right. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. So remember, as we go through this week, don't let the devil steal your praise. Don't let him steal your sound. And take time to fellowship with him. When you're feeling put down or you're feeling, you know, don't know what to do or where to go, begin to shout, begin to praise, begin to exalt him and bless his name. And don't lose hope. Don't give up your confidence in those things that God has directed you to do. Hold steady. Amen. And if God gives you, you know, I share this because sometimes folks have used faith and overridden the leading of the Spirit of God with, I'm standing on the Word in this area. And it's important that we live by faith, but we're also led by the Spirit of God. And so there are times when the Holy Ghost is nudging you to do something, and you're just going to hold on to your faith confession. He knows a little bit more than you do. And sometimes we need to just follow that, follow those leadings that we have, and I always say this, we release our words, speak words in faith, but be open for direction and correction. It doesn't mean we're not living by faith. Yeah, you release your words, But if he tells you to go to the doctor, if he tells you to do something, if he tells you to take medicine, we've had people here, I'm not going to use any names, but we've had people here in this congregation stop taking their medicine saying, I'm going to just stand in faith. And I'm going to tell you right now, one that I'm thinking of is DEAD. Now, they went to heaven, but they shouldn't have stopped taking their medicine. See, because medicine won't heal you. It'll maintain and correct, or not correct, but hold some symptoms in place till you keep working. Remember what I'm talking about? Did you've maybe had a lifestyle or words that you've been saying for a while. It takes time to turn that around. And so faith-filled words will change it. But sometimes you need to just put some things in place to keep that steady while your words are working. That makes sense? And that's no different in any other area. I'm just talking about healing, but that's no different where finances are concerned or anything else. Sometimes we're going to use some natural help till the supernatural gets to working. And we see the manifestation of it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And his word is working mightily in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Anybody have a comment or a thought? No? Yes? Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We're excited about what you're doing in our midst. And Father, we lift up our voices in praise. We lift up our voices in glory to you. Thank you, Father, for your manifested presence in here. Thank you for the people that are coming. Thank you for the sinners that are coming. Thank you for the drug addicts that are coming. Thank you, Father, for the change in this atmosphere, in this area. Thank you for the corruption coming down. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that corruption is changing and being brought to the light. Thank you that darkness is being broken in this area and Spring Valley and all of these various areas, Father, New City. Thank you that darkness is being torn down and the light is exposing it. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of unity and faith and love being dominant in this area. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that this whole state is changing. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for it. And we thank you, Father, that words that have been spoken over this state are changing. Instead of it being the most expensive state to live in, our words have dominance here. And we're going to change that with faith-filled words. Hallelujah. And the things that have gripped this state are broken in the name of Jesus. And the corruption is broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And we thank you for revival in this state. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.